Halleluja! Halleluja! After what come out took us through, man, maybe I should even preach. There's a real breakthrough anointing here at this house. Hallelujah! Please have your seat. Thank you so much, Kamal. Thank you for preparing the hearts of the people here this morning. You know, as you always expect me to prepare and come and preach, in the same way, you also have to prepare your heart. You know, in the parable of the sower, I've come to realize that you can have a good seed, but if the ground is no good, it affects the quality of the harvest. And so I can come with a good word, but if your heart is not prepared, the quality of work that God wants to do will be affected. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for prepared hearts and prepared minds. Father, I thank you for transformation. I thank you for breakthroughs, Lord. May that shout of victory this morning bring every wall of Jericho down, O God. Lord, may it bring restoration, O God. May it bring elevation, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready for his word this morning? Good. Will you turn with me then to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, from verse 15. He said, this is God speaking, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you." Now, what's happening is King Jehoshaphat is in his palace or castle or whatever, and then he gets news that an army is about to attack him. And so he goes before God and he prays and asks God to deliver him. And this is the answer God gives him. He says this in verse 15. He says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." It means do not be moved by what you see or what you hear. And it says, "For the battle is not yours." The battle is not yours, but God's. "Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Now, how many people know that you cannot change what you're not willing to confront? You cannot change what you're not willing to confront. It says, go out and face them. You can't change what you're not willing to face. I mean, I look back now and I laugh, but years ago, Pastor Joe would ask me just to do the offering talk, and I'll be on my knees pleading. Pastor Joe, no, I don't want to do this. And all happened because one of the leaders, for some reason, couldn't do it. And so I had to tell Pastor Joe that, look, this person says they can't do it. So why don't you do it then? And at the time, I thought, Lord, Pastor Joe, please. And I'm sure she must have been thinking, what a wimp. Just an offering talk. How long does an offering talk take? But I had to face it. Well, it depends who's doing it. If Auntie Ruth is doing it, yes, maybe an hour. I'm joking. Don't tell her this. But that is the thing, you know. Until you face it, you cannot overcome it. And for me, this is just an offering talk. But there are so many other things, you know. Even in a relationship, if you've got an issue and you ignore it, it would not go away. It wouldn't go. You have to face it. You have to confront it for it to be dealt with. Even in the area of your finances, you see letters coming in. You know they're after you. And then you ignore it, thinking it will go. It won't. You have to face it. Otherwise, it won't. But the good news is this, in verse 17, watch this. It says, the battle is not yours. You will not have to fight. It says, well, you will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight it. It's not yours. Once I speak, God says, it's settled. You will not have to fight this battle. It is not by your might or by your power. It is not by your wisdom. It is not by your strength. It is not by your ability. It's nothing to do with you. You don't control the outcome. He says, the battle is mine. All you have to do is to obey. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is to obey. Last week I said, you know, it's not your responsibility to determine the outcome. It's your responsibility to be obedient. I said, the battle is mine. the battle, but you need to take that step. What now? Watch this in verse 17. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. I'm reading from the NIV. Then the next verse, it says, take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Now, 1 minute he's saying, you will not have to fight this battle. The next minute he's saying, take up your position. Contradictory. He says, well, you will not have to fight this battle. Then the next minute, take up your positions and stand firm. Now, if you tell somebody in the army to take up their positions, it means get ready to fight. Take up your position, get ready to fight. But then 1 minute God is saying, this is not your battle. The next minute he's saying, take up your position. Now the question is, where do you stand in Christ? What is your position in God? He says, you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are the lender and not the borrower. He says, because he died or he became poor so that through his poverty you will become rich. Now that is the position that you have in Christ. That is your position that you have in Christ. Hallelujah. So you need to begin to recognize your position, who you are in Christ. And once you begin to recognize that, you stand firm in that position. That's what he's talking about. He says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will give you. So once you identify your position, you stand firm and get ready for what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Now the problem is, so many times we let situations, we let circumstances, we let what other people say, define our position. Instead of standing on the word of God, we let what people say, we let the experiences we go through define our position. But you've got to understand that your condition is not your position. It's not. Your condition is not your position. Conditions normally are temporary. Your position is where you stand in God. Now, if you remember the story of Elisha in 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, I think, if I'm right. Let's see if I can find it. You know when Samaria was besieged by the kingdom? Or anybody here who can remember? Kamau, with all the shouting you've been shouting, can you remember? 2 Kings, chapter what? I think it's 2 Kings chapter 7. You know, what happened was Samaria was besieged by the king of Aram. He was besieged by... Now, what they did was they surrounded the whole city, so nobody could come in and nobody could go out. It was a military strategy. When they do that, they wait till you get starved and you're weak, then they will attack. Now, they surrounded Samaria for a long time until there was so much famine in that city. And then the king went to Elisha and said, look, why have you brought this upon us? And Elisha said, you know what? I guarantee you, tomorrow, by this time, things will change. And then one of the king's officials said, look, even if God opened the floodgates of heaven, this can never happen. Can never happen. And the man of God, Elisha, said, you watch what God is going to do. The attempt that God will bring you to the place of impossibility so that he can do the possible in your life. Hallelujah. Says, you watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. And for me, it's not even so much what God did, but it's how he did it in 2 Kings. Now watch this. 2 Kings chapter 7. Let's read from verse 3. He says, 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. He says, now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? Why stay here until we die? I said earlier on that you cannot change when you're not willing to confront. He says, why stay here till we die? Now, God used these lepers to bring deliverance and restoration to the people in Samaria. He used these lepers, 4 lepers. And the reason why the lepers were outside the city gate was because in those days, when you've got leprosy, you're not allowed to mingle with what people call normal. So you were outside. And so their condition put them in that position. I'm going somewhere with this. Their condition put them in that position. But you see, it's funny how God works. He used the very same people that were outcast to bring deliverance. And maybe God is trying to say something, that don't let your condition ever determine your position. Don't ever let it, no matter how you feel, no matter what people think of you, no matter what people say, never let your condition determine your position. Now, he says this in verse 4. He says, if we say we will go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. 5, he says, at dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their houses. You see how God works. Because you are thinking, oh God, how is God going to bring about what he says? But look, he just caused them to hear a sound and they fled. And you're here thinking, wow, in this year of Jubilee, how is God going to move in my life? You have no idea. I always say that, you know, the human mind at its best is still limited. It's so limited. You can't even begin to evaluate things with your mind. You need the Spirit of God. Look at the way God is working. Whoever thought God was going to work this way? Whoever thought God was going to bring you deliverance in this house this morning? Verse 8, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. Then they took silver and gold and clothes. 1 minute they were broke, they were so poor. The next minute they got silver and gold. 24-hour miracle. 1 minute you are broke, the next minute you are rich. It's only God who can do that. May you receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 says, then they said to each other, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Because of time, I'll just fast forward to 18. Verse 18. It says, it happened as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a seah of finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seah of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. In other words, whatever God says is settled. It doesn't matter what you think, it doesn't matter what you see, it doesn't matter what other people say. Once he said it, it's settled. Once he said it, it's settled. It says it's your year of Jubilee. It is settled. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how you feel. Just find your position in him and stand on what he's got for you. It says, find your position and stand firm. Now listen, you can't stand firm unless the foundation on which you're standing is strong. There are times that I've stood on people, I've depended on people, and they've let me down. But God is a sure foundation. He would never let you down. You know, when God gave King Jehoshaphat this answer, it was because he prayed a prayer. You know, I wanted to skip this, but it's so good that I just don't want to skip it. So let's look at this prayer, the prayer he made. And that's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. Is there a Samsung? Maybe it's calling me. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 6. Who's that laughing? Is that funny? It says, Lord, this King Jehoshaphat's praying. Says, Lord, when he heard that people were about to attack him, he says, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? Are you not the God who is in heaven? Now, he's pointing to a direction. He's pointing to a God in heaven. That's direction. He says, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. And the devil does that at times, always trying to take what God has given you. But he's a liar. Then verse 12 says, our God, Will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. But our eyes are on you. Now, I like this prayer because he starts by saying, God, are you not what it says in 17 and 6? It says, are you not, verse. It says, are you not the God who is in heaven? Are you not the God who is in heaven? That's how he starts. And he ends by saying, our eyes are on you. Are you not the God who is in heaven? He's pointing to a direction. Our eyes are on you. That's vision. Now, how many people know that vision and direction go hand in hand? Vision and direction go hand in hand. If you can tell me the direction in which you're going, I can have an idea what vision you've got. And if you can tell me your vision, I can have an idea the direction in which you should go. So many people are fighting the wrong things because they are looking the wrong way. They're fighting the wrong things because they are looking the wrong way. And until you depend on God to give you the right vision, you will fail. In Psalm 32, verse 8, listen to what God says here in Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation. Psalm 32, verse 8. It says this, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. He says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. You know, last week I was praying about making room in your life for God. You know, and many times when we come to church every Sunday, when we come for all nights and half nights, or we are faithful and we're giving, we think we are making room for God, but there's more to it. Because once you make room for God, it means there are certain things that must come out to make room. And that probably would mean for some of you, you've got to watch the way you speak just so God can feel comfortable in your life. That means for some of you, there are places you don't have to go. There are certain things you have to drop just to make God feel comfortable in your life. That Shunammite woman, when she invited Elisha into her house, she put certain things in place just so that the man of God will feel comfortable. And you have to put certain things in place in your life just to make sure that God is comfortable with you. Because that is the only way you can begin to hear God when he speaks to you. That is the only way. And you know how the Bible talks about God putting so much value on his Holy Spirit. Now the Bible says every sin that you commit is likely to be forgiven you. The only time God will not forgive you is when you sin against the Holy Spirit. That's the only time he will not forgive you. And yet I find it very interesting that with all that, God still puts the Holy Spirit in us. When clearly he says that when you sin against him, I can never forgive you. It's an eternal sin. It would be on you forever. And yet he still puts the Holy Spirit on us because he understands that it's so essential for us to have the Holy Spirit. Like I said before, you know, at its best, the mind has limitations. You know, and the reason why he puts the Holy Spirit in us is because it's the only way we can overcome those limitations. That's number one. And number two, so that decisions we make can always be in line with his will for our lives. That is why we have the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a third point. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:12 or Ephesians 6:12, I can't remember. It says, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So how is that you as a human being, you're dealing with forces that you can't even see? You're dealing with forces that you can't. There is no way you would win unless you have the Spirit of God. There's no way. And that's why he puts his Spirit in you. Because there's no way. Even when powerful men of God pray, even these demons have the ability to cease their prayer. We are dealing with forces. We are dealing with things that we cannot see. So let me put my Spirit in these people to guide them in the direction that they should go. You know, the question I want to ask this morning is, what is your condition right now? Because if you don't know what your condition is, it will affect your position. He wants to put you in a place where you be prepared for what he's about to do. What he's about to do in this year of Jubilee, and the year after, and the year after, and the year after. But if you don't take your position and take your stand, how is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? Take your position and take your stand. Take your position and take your stand. Because I'm about to do something in your life right now. I'm about to do something. King Jehoshaphat, once I speak, it is settled. Once I speak, it is settled. You don't have to worry about the rest. Leave the rest for me to do. Yours is to do the obedience part of it. Yours is to do the obedience. Just get Israel out of Egypt, and I'll deal with Pharaoh. Just stretch your hand, and I'll part the sea. Just go round the walls of Jericho, and I'll bring them down. It's my place to do it. Yours is to do the obedient part. What is your condition right now? What really is your condition right now? Are the things you're going through, are the things that people are saying to you, are they affecting your position right now? Or you're standing on the word of God as your position, as your firm foundation? Are you standing on faith, or are you standing on what the doctor is saying? Are you standing on your father, or you're standing on what your employer is saying? Are you? The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those who come to him at first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. It says those who are led by the Spirit are the true sons. And so, you know, there's this time when God told Joshua, I want you to destroy completely every nation around you. And he didn't. One group of people called the Gibeonites, they came to him and pretended to be from a far away land. And they came with some bread and some tattered clothes just to pretend they were from far. And the Bible says, Joshua and his men, they sampled the thing, but they did not inquire of the Lord. And as a result, they had to live with that mistake they made. Now, at times, it's not even the mistake we make, but it's living with it for the rest of our lives. That's what matters. That's what matters. Living with that mistake for the rest of your life just because they did not inquire from God. You cannot make a decision on the basis of an appearance of what the way things appear. You can't. You can't. At times it works, at times it doesn't. But when it comes to critical things, you cannot afford just to say, let me use my mind. No, you get it wrong at times. You get it wrong. But God wants to change all that. He wants to change all that. He wants to change all that. Hallelujah. I want to pray for somebody this morning. I want to pray. I always believe that anytime God brings a word, it's because he wants to do something. But he brings a word to prepare your heart so that he can move. Because the ground in which the seed, which is his word, falls in must be ready so that the quality of the harvest can be good. He doesn't want you to just walk out of this door and that's it. And you come again next Sunday, same way as you came. Nobody, the Bible says, nobody really truly encounters God and remains the same. And so if things are the same, you need to be asking yourself, why are things the same in my life, God? Why are things the same in my life? And he wants to change that. He wants to change that. He wants you to take your position right now. Instead of letting your conditions determine it, he wants you to let his word determine where you stand. You stand. His word is the firm foundation when the winds and the storms come. Because you're standing on his word, nothing. Shall we be on our feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Jesus. Now, I don't know what are the things in your life right now that you need to confront that for some reason you can't confront. And I know it can be hard at times confronting certain things. You know, the fear of confronting certain things. But until you confront them, they would never go away. And if you're finding it hard to confront certain things in your life, that is where you go to God and say, God, I am struggling in this area. I pray for your strength to be able to confront this situation that I'm facing right now. I thank you for your words, which says, Lord, the battle is yours. guaranteed, but give me the strength to take that step that you want me to take. And I know you do the rest. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to lift every single person here into your hands this morning. I know, Lord, they made it to this auditorium today for a reason, oh God, and it's because of what you want to do in their lives, God. Father, I thank you that your word concerning them is settled. It is so settled that no weapon of the enemy fashioned against them will prosper. It's so settled, Lord. But I pray, God, for the strength for them to be able to stand on that word that you've given them. Concern whatever area in their lives that they are believing you for that breakthrough, oh God. You delivered King Jehoshaphat because he stood on your word. Because, Lord, he had his eyes on you, God. And today they have their eyes on you, Lord, and no one else. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray that you would take them to that place, oh God, that they would have that strength, oh Lord, they need, oh God, to be able to take their positions and, Lord, take that stand that they need to take for what you're about to do in their lives, oh God. Lord, not tomorrow, not the day after, but what you're about to do today, Lord. Father, I thank you that before we started this service, as we were led by Kamal to shout that shout of victory, oh God, I thank you that chains were being broken, oh God. I thank you that people were being delivered, oh God. I thank you that doors were being opened, God. And Father, now that doors have been opened, I pray that God give us the strength to be able to go through and stand firm each step of the way, Lord. Father, I thank you so much, God, for the deliverance, oh God, you brought, God, and the work you've started. And I give you all the glory, Lord, and all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name.